The lection area that we use for our Sunday readings is something that resulted from a worldwide council of churches meeting and deciding if they could come up with a lectionary that all Christian churches around the world are reading the same scriptures on the same day. So when you look up the lectionary in the back of our prayer book, it doesn't exactly match what we use. And that's because it was about, I would say, 10 or 12 years ago that the Episcopal Church decided to be part of that group. And the good part of it is we know that the readings we're reading are being read around the world on this day, which is a nice thing. The challenging part is that there are times that the three readings have nothing to do with each other. And so it's pretty hard to see that there's a theme that goes across all of them. Normally, that ends up being the case with these Revised Common Lectionary readings, but not today. They actually fit together. And there's a theme that I saw connect, a dotted line among them. And I want to explore that with you because I think it tells us something really important about our purpose as Christians. You know, I've discussed before, I really sign up for Rick Warren's idea, there being five purposes that we can take out of, we can extract from looking at the great commandment in Matthew 22 and the Great Commission, which is in Matthew 28. And you can pull out of those that we are about, our life purpose is to be engaged in worship, discipleship, ministry, mission, and fellowship. Those five. And this topic today is all about discipleship. When you look at the Isaiah reading, Isaiah was the prophet just at the time he started writing, at the time of the exile, when Jerusalem, all of Judah, was taken captive and pulled off to all through the Middle East, but a lot of them to Babylon. And so the book of Isaiah is really written in three parts. And the first part is saying, you might think this is because the king of Assyria is powerful and overpowered us, but that's not what I think. I think God is punishing you for being a despicable people because you're not worshiping properly. You're not worshiping with a true worship. And so that's the first third. The second third of Isaiah is during the exile and saying, don't lose heart, because above all things, God loves us and God will care for you because you are the people of God. And then the third part, which includes chapter 66 that we read from this morning, is saying that even with your return now to Jerusalem, there will be those of you who worship rightly and those of you who do not participate in true worship. And those who do participate in true worship are just going to be poured blessing upon blessing by God. And so they're describing that motherly kind of nurturing of God for those who engage in true worship. And so there's this idea of what is true worship. Well, then in Galatians, what Paul talks about as he writes to that church is to say that it is not about whether you conform to the ritual understanding of what it means to be a Jew, to eat kosher foods only, for the men to be circumcised as a symbol of their commitment as the people of God. Paul's saying that's not what matters, because that's not what constitutes true worship. That's not what constitutes being a true believer. It's about Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus or not? It's as simple as that. And that's all that matters, is to follow Jesus. And so that doesn't just mean it's an intellectual exercise that I've done Bible study and I know that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for my sins. But how do I live the life? How do I actually take on the spirit of Jesus? How do I take on the mind of Christ in the way I live out my life? Okay, well, that takes us to the gospel lesson, because what Jesus was doing in the gospel lesson, he had just been off the Mount of the Transfiguration. He had met up with Elijah and Moses and found out what's waiting for him in Jerusalem. And he set his sights on it and said, I know that's God's will. I know that's my purpose. And nothing is going to stop me. So he's heading from Galilee, near the Sea of Galilee, going down the Jordan River through Samaria to arrive eventually at Jerusalem. And so during that journey, he ends up sending out 70, not 12, but 70. And what he's really saying in that exercise is, it's time for you all to not just listen to me while we're sitting on a hillside. It's not for you to just observe me. It's time for you to go do stuff. It's time for you to do things. Because the idea of discipleship is not an intellectual exercise only. It's also one of living it out and being a living example to other people. And so I'm going to set you out. I'm not going to give you a script. You're not going to have a name tag. You're not going to wear a white shirt and a black tie. You're just going to go out and you're going to share your story of what it means to live like a Christian. And so he ends up really in this one passage just packing a lot of content that I'm really going to boil down to a little so that we don't fight the Harley Davidsons outside. He said, the harvest is plentiful. And the message there is, boy, does this world need the peace that God offers, right? I mean, we are so lacking in showing love for other people and respect for other people and realizing, regardless of your tradition, regardless of your custom, God loves you and so do I. And that's so missing. And so we are a faith that is not exclusive. We are a faith that is inclusive. We are intended to be every human on earth to recognize this relationship that God wants with us. And God showed the model of that in Jesus. So to say the harvest is plentiful, it certainly is. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest. And that means that we are a prayer-based people. And so before we start our day, let's pray for God to use us today. If we're going into a situation that we're not comfortable with, we don't know what's going to happen, God be with me. I don't want to go this alone. God, tell me what words to say. Tell me when to keep my mouth shut. God, just help guide me in how to make today serve you. So we need to remember we're people of prayer. He said to go on your way. And the message there is, you've sat here with me long enough. You've traveled with me for 3 years. It's time for you to get out there and just speak and to just be there for people and just meet them where they are. And so we are called to a ministry that's not about just being in this room. That's why we have a dismissal statement. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. That's meant to be a charge statement saying, after we've shared what we've shared here on Sunday morning, our job is to get out there and take this peace and this love that we've talked about and make it work. Figure out how to make it realistic in the real world. He said, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. There are two ways we could take that. One way is to say, not everybody's out there friendly, and we need to realize sometimes we're going to be in risky situations, and that's true. But I think another one is that another meaning to that statement is to say, we're the lambs to really bring, to carry God's peace into a place that has a bunch of wolves out there. And if we can be that source of being a non-anxious presence, if we can bring that peace of God that just ratchets things down, we've served a really sacred cause, I think. I was taught long ago, if somebody responds to you this way and you ratchet it up to meet them, all that does is invite it getting ratcheted up again, right? And so there has to be something more powerful than what's just inside us to bring it down the other way and to calm things down. And that's the peace of our being the lamb among the wolves. He said, greet no one on the road. And that's really saying, let's not get distracted by all the things that go on in the world from what we are about. We can always choose to take the high road if we're aware enough that there are distractions and we need to not allow them to get us off track. So there's a sense of commitment that we make in the values we're going to live our life by. We're not going to let the world tell us how we're going to live. We're going to decide by what values we're going to live. And those are values given to us by Christ. He said, eat what is set before you. And the message there is that, as Paul did, he wasn't worried about kosher foods. He'd eat whatever the people were eating that he was meeting with, because he wanted to be all things through Christ who strengthened him. And he wanted to just be there for them and not show that he was higher or better than them. And so there's a need for us to meet people wherever they are and just to be that presence. He said, the kingdom of God has come near you. And I think the message there is for us to realize we don't have to have a script. We don't have to have a name tag. We don't have to be dressed a certain way. It's about us just being open to listening where people are and help share with them what it's like for us to look at Christ as the one who's telling us how to react to life, react to all the stuff that's unplanned and doesn't go well, and how to celebrate with God when things do go well. He said that whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, it's not always going to be received well of who we are. But that shouldn't stop us, because we've still planted a seed, and who knows how long it takes for that to nurture. It might not. We might have just been the one who started that conversation, but it needs to be somebody else's voice later on, or it has to be another phase in that person's life before they're open to it. But that shouldn't stop us from doing what we're called to do. And then Jesus said again, the kingdom of God has come near. And his point to that was, as Paul discussed, our ability to make a difference in people's lives is about God using us, not about us being terrific. Our job, the beauty that is wrapping up the gospel lesson, is to say what we do rejoice in is that our name is written in heaven. And I love that imagery that, you know, we can read it in Daniel, the book of Daniel. We can read it in the Psalms. We can read it in the book of Revelation about there being a book of life, and that God maintains that book of life. And it contains the names of people who have been true worshipers. And the idea that my name might be in that book, I shared at 8 o'clock. There are some days I'm sure my name's not in that book that day. And other times I think, gee, maybe I'm in that book today. But the idea that there is that book, and that we're really working towards trying to have that mind of Christ, to live in the image of Christ, to have a standard that we end up guiding ourselves by. There's really this spiritual compass that we operate by that says, this is what's going to dictate how I make decisions and how I react to things and how I effectively share what my faith walk is about to me. And then let people make up their own mind. Because then God's in control. And we're not trying to protect our own ego. We're just offering God being present in our lives. So I pray that all of us end up being disciples who carry this love of God out into the world every day. Amen. Amen.